Welcome to the Hills. Preacher Rick here, greeting all of you in person at Northeastern Hills, Keller, West Fort Worth, our Dallas launch team, and our online family literally around the world. A shout out to our friends who watch every week in Perth, Australia. It's nighttime where you are, but I'm glad you are joining us as well. So if the last 2 weeks has been your first time to attend or watch our church, you heard Emmanuel Dominguez preach. I do most of the preaching here, but I have an awesome preaching team made up of Emmanuel and Drew Ritchie. And can we take a moment and just thank Emmanuel for the great job he did the last 2 weeks leading us through the book of Jonah and the God who restores and pursues. And you're going to have a chance next month to hear Drew preach, and you're going to be blessed. So we pray for him. And speaking of praying, thank you for praying for me and my family. We returned from our ski trip last week, and I'm happy to say we don't have a single scheduled visit with an orthopedic surgeon. I call that a successful ski trip, so it went very well. We're glad to be back. That's not the best thing that happened in Colorado recently. You know, we're a church that likes to start churches. For example, in Colorado Springs, we helped start a church a little over 6 years ago called Trace Church. They've already got over 1,000 people, and they just recently signed a contract to get their first permanent building. No more having to lease space. So we're celebrating with them. But what if you go to Denver? I've got a church I want you to visit. It's called Devo Church. And we helped launch this church the last Sunday of February. It's led by Nathan and Michaela Gay. And their church began. And on their very first Sunday, they had 336 people show up. Can we celebrate that? And the studies show that new churches are more fruitful in reaching people far from God. So they noticed out of those 336 that a number of them expressed a desire to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. So they scheduled on April 7th, just 6 weeks from their launch, a baptism Sunday. They've already had 31 people sign up to get baptized on April the 7th. So we celebrate that. Now, we are having Baptism Sunday on April the 7th. So I want you to be praying about that and signing up for that. I'm talking to people right now who need to be baptized. Call your parents, call your friends, call out-of-town relatives and say, hey, I want you to be here on that Sunday to watch me make the most important public declaration I will ever make. Because we are a church with a vision to ask for nations and generations. And part of that vision is to see in the next 5 years, one person a day surrender to Christ and be baptized. Part of that vision over 5 years is to see 15 or more churches get planted. Our vision asks for nations and generations. That is the particular way our church is pursuing the mission that every church should pursue to make disciples of Jesus. We put it like this. You hear this often. The Hills Church exists to make and grow followers of Jesus. And we do this together by being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. So this year I'm planning all of my preaching around be, become, and do. So right after Easter, I'm going to do a series on how we can become like Jesus through the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Late summer and fall, I'll do some teaching on how we can do the things that Jesus did. But we're starting the year with a series called It's Good to Hear Your Voice. Because the first thing you must do in following Jesus is spend time with Him. You must connect to Him. And connection requires communication. Jesus said this, "My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me." And so we have been doing a teaching on how we can get better at hearing the voice of our rabbi. And I've received so much amazing feedback from people who are hearing God for the very first time and from some people who've been hearing God for a very long time. In fact, two of the favorite pieces of feedback I got were from two members of our church in their 80s. Who said, "I'm so glad you're talking about hearing God because I've been hearing God all my life and now I feel like I can tell people and they won't think I'm weird." But I want to share with you an email I got from a young woman in our church that really blessed me. Her name is Nayeli Mercado. Nayeli is actually the receptionist at our West Forth campus. She and her husband were baptized about 2 years ago. Since then, her parents have been baptized, an aunt and uncle. Some other extended family members have been baptized. She's on fire for the Lord. And she sent me this email. I wanted to share this with you in light of the current series, Your Teaching. On February the 8th, my husband and I went out to dinner. As we were approaching the end of our dinner, I had a very strong impression from the Holy Spirit that I needed to ask our waiter if he needed prayer. I looked at my husband and I said, I need to ask the waiter if he needs prayer. My husband said, that's weird. And I said, yes, I know. The longer the waiter took to come to our table, the stronger the feeling inside me got. I got to the point that I felt like throwing up or crying or both. A waiter, Alejandro, came to our table to ask if we needed a box. He quickly went to grab it before I could ask him. So when he came back, I said, this might be a weird question, but do you need prayer? He looked shocked, but surprisingly, he said, actually, yes. He gave me a backstory and told me he had been praying all night and all morning for his marriage. And I prayed for him and his marriage. And he thanked me. And he said his spirit felt lifted. And he asked me, what did you see? I said, I didn't see anything. I felt it. He looked emotional and said, it's amazing how God uses people. And when he walked away, I started sobbing. I felt two emotions at the same time, ashamed and grateful. I felt ashamed at how close I came to almost disobeying my God. I felt grateful that he allowed me to be a part of that moment. I realized that God loves his children so much, he would put a complete stranger in someone's path to let them know that he's listening, that he's with them, that he loves them. If I hadn't obeyed, someone else would have gotten to Alejandro, but I would have missed out on the opportunity to witness this moment. So on our way home after dinner, I kept crying at the thought of how much Alejandro is loved and how much God loves us. I remember that I had been fasting that morning and how clear I was able to know what the Holy Spirit needed me to do. I look forward to being open-minded on the different ways God speaks to us. It truly is so good to hear his voice. And I love the fact that here is a person who is new in her journey of following Jesus, who's already become to expect that hearing God is part of that faithfulness. Her experience was not weird. It is normal for a follower of Jesus like you. You can recognize his voice if you are a Christian. You know how I know that? Because you are a Christian. Here's what I mean. Your salvation proves that you can hear God. Realize that your capacity to hear God begins with God. He called us first, and in his grace, he gave us the capacity to hear that call. None of us would have become Christians apart from the revelatory work of the Holy Spirit who planted truth in our hearts. Here's what I'm saying. You don't convert and then begin to hear God. You hear God and then you begin to convert. It begins with hearing God. That's why James says, James 1:18, that God chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. If you are born again, it is evidence you heard God. And what you did once, you can do again and again. And that's the purpose of this series, to equip us at improving our hearing. But we must also acknowledge it's possible for a Christian to experience significant hearing loss. And when this happens, the problem is not with the transmission, it's always with the reception. Maybe you've been watching a reality show and it's the final episode, or you're watching a big game and it's the last 2 minutes and there's a thunderstorm and cable goes out. Or maybe you're talking to someone, having an important conversation in your car, you drive through a tunnel and your phone loses reception. Now the transmission is still going on, but interference has kept you from receiving the word you need. Now you have an enemy, and your enemy will do anything to keep you from hearing God. And so he will do all he can to create interference to disrupt the transmission. And so, after saying that the very fact that we are saved is evidence that we could hear God, James follows with advice on how to avoid potential interference in future communication. In other words, James says, now that you have heard God, there are some things you can do to hear better. So look, starting in verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what it looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So what James is doing is saying, you're a believer, a follower of Jesus. You experience birth because God planted truth in your heart. Do you want to keep receiving truth? Do you want to keep hearing from God? Here's some things that will improve your hearing. Here's number one. You need to yearn to learn. Heard about a family having a family reunion talking about the importance of marriage counseling. One older couple said, we've never gone to marriage counseling. We don't need it. She was a communication major in college, and I was a theater arts major. And someone said, what's that got to do with anything? He said, well, she's really good at talking, and I'm really good at acting like I'm listening. Do you know people like that? They are listening, but not really listening because they don't think they really need to listen. You like to talk to people like that? Do you like to communicate to know-it-alls? Hey, don't elbow anybody right now, okay? Humorist Dave Barry says, I argue very well. Ask any of my friends. I can win an argument on any topic against any opponent. People know this and steer clear of me at parties. Often, as a sign of their great respect, they don't even invite me. You think? Listen, humble listening is a critical part of discipleship. Look at the phrases that James chose, guided by the Spirit. Be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. Humbly accept the word planted in your heart. These are all traits of somebody who has a teachable spirit. When you have a proud spirit, you are pouring poison on the soil where God wants to plant the seed of His word. And what a proud spirit does is it creates interference between God's transmission and your reception. I got hired to preach when I was 21 years old. I do not know what the leaders of that church were thinking, and evidently some of the members didn't either, because some members left the church. I remember seeing one family and asking why. Have I taught something that offended you or that was wrong? They said, no, we just don't believe we're going to ever gain anything of benefit from someone your age trying to teach us. Another woman in that church told me one time, I've known and studied the Bible all my life. You're never going to teach me anything I don't already know. You ever had those conversations where you leave and you think then, I wish I had said this? Because I wish I had said, it's not my job to tell you what you don't know. It's my job to remind you of what you do know and ask you what you're going to do about what you know. You see, if you yearn to learn, then you will let God plant His word in your heart using whatever vessel He chooses. And that's how Jesus lived. So there was a well-known painter in Germany, 1800s, named Heinrich Hoffmann. And most of his paintings were of the life of Jesus. In fact, four of his best known are actually the property of Riverside Church in New York City, including this painting. It's called Christ in the Temple. Do you remember the story? Joseph and Mary have gone to Jerusalem for a festival. They leave. They can't find Jesus. They go back. They find Him in the temple. It says everyone was amazed at His wisdom. And that picture, I think, is how most people see it. All these old wise men around being quiet while young Jesus lectures them. Beautiful painting, but it misses what the text really says. Luke 2. After 3 days, they found Him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. In the first century, they knew Jesus was a man. They had trouble believing He was God. Today, we know Jesus is God. We have trouble letting Him be a man. He was a man. How did he learn? How did he hear God? He grew. It says in Luke 2, he grew in wisdom. He had a teachable spirit. If you want to hear from the Father, act like his son and yearn to learn. It'll improve your hearing. This will too. Mean to stay clean. Here's what I mean. When sin is unaddressed and unconfessed in our lives, it creates interference with any transmission from God. I am not talking about an occasional stumble. We all sin. I'm talking about, you know, there is something in your life that is completely out of line with God's will for your life, and you do nothing about it. You are asking for interference. That's why James said, get rid of all moral filth and humbly accept the word. Now, this is inevitable in translation. When you change words from one language to another, sometimes you miss the power of the original intent. So James's readers would have understood the wordplay. He took a word from the medical field, especially from the field of hearing. That word for filth is a derivative of the word for earwax. So the original readers would have heard the point. You have got to get stuff out of your life, the sin that is plugging up your ears so that you can't hear the voice of the Lord. So this is the second oldest Bible I own. I bought it my freshman year in college. It's the first time in my life I really got serious about reading God's Word. I even bought some highlighters. I bought several colored pens. The blue would mark doctrines I thought were important, and the pink would be things that I thought God wanted me to do, and the yellow would be words that I thought were especially encouraging. I don't know if I learned anything, but I had the prettiest Bible on campus. I also had a roommate, a friend from high school, that had a very different biological clock. I'm a morning person. I took a Greek class every day at 8 a.m. And so I like to get to bed a little early. My roommate was a night person. He didn't even want to wake up or crank up the music and the party till after 10. So I've got a night that I'm cramming for a huge test in my Greek class. My brain is tired. I want to get some good rest, get up early, and go take that test. He wants to have a party. He's cranking up the music. He's turning on the TV, and we get into an argument. And that's when I said something real spiritual like, well, shut up! I'm going to go read my Bible. So how much truth do you think penetrated me? Here I am, angry and hateful to my brother and expecting to hear from my father? That's what sin does. And so, is it fair? Is it fair to ask God to pour out the seed of the word when you won't get out the weed of disobedience? Is it fair to ask God for communication or insight or guidance in an area of your life that isn't very clear? When you are disobeying God in an area that he has made very clear. Illustration, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. God's will is for you to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin. Everyone in the first century church knew what that meant. Sexual sin in the early church was any sexual activity outside of a covenant of marriage between a man and a woman. That was sexual sin. Are you sleeping with people and you're not married? Are you having emotional or physical affairs with someone that's not your mate? Are you regularly pursuing porn and objectifying someone who's made in the image of God? Why should you expect God to give you revelation when you're not giving God consecration? Very next chapter. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do you whine a lot? That is not a fruit of the Spirit. Are you always grumbling and complaining? That is not a spiritual gift. If you are a negative, cynical person, always choosing to look on the negative and not on all the blessings God's given you, you're living outside His will. Why should you expect God to give you wisdom and insight in an area that's not clear when you are disobeying God in an area He's made very clear? Here's what I'm saying. Do you want to hear God? Keep your ears washed. Get rid of the sin that is plugging up the ears and creating interference. You want your hearing to get better. Yearn to learn, mean to stay clean. One more thing. James says, obey right away. Don't merely listen to the word, do what it says. Sometimes God speaks to encourage and sometimes to enlighten, but often God speaks to prompt and to commission. As Emmanuel reminded us 2 weeks ago, what does a parent mean when the parent says, did you hear what I said? The parent is not asking, did my sound waves not enter your eardrums and get transmitted into electrical impulses that travel the synapses of your brain? That is not what they're asking. What they're asking is, I know that you know what I wanted. Why are you not doing that? And so, when you receive a word from God and you don't respond to it, James says what you're doing is deceiving yourself. There's two ways you can know what you look like, a photograph and a mirror. When you got up to come to church today, did you get out of bed, go find a photograph of yourself and think, my, I am looking good today, and come to church? Or did you go find a mirror and say, oh my goodness, we got work to do? Because a mirror will tell you the truth. And James says, God's word is like a mirror. So do you want to get better at hearing God? Then get quicker at obeying God. I could give you no better advice than the advice of Jesus' mother. They're at a wedding. They run out of wine. She tells Jesus. He says, woman, it's not my time. I think Mary rolls her eyes. She goes and finds some servants and she says, do whatever he tells you. I can give you no better wisdom than that. Do whatever he tells you. Because if you don't do it, then did you really hear it? Okay, I'm going to give you a nugget. I want you to hang on to this. Moses is with God. God gives Moses the words that he wants the people to have. So it says, Exodus 24, he took the book of the covenant, he read it to the people, and they responded, we will do everything the Lord has said, we will obey. Okay, I've highlighted that word obey. It's the Hebrew word shema, and some of you know that was the Hebrew word for hear. Every Orthodox Jew starts his day with the shema, hear, O Israel. The Lord your God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So what they said is, we will do it and we will hear it. You say, you got that backwards. You got to hear it and then do it. But you see, in the Hebrew mind, hearing was more than just acknowledging the reception of the word. Hearing was pledging allegiance to that word. That if you didn't do it, you can't say that you really heard it. If you want to have more revelation, obey the revelation you have. That's why Nayeli was blessed. It wasn't that she just heard the word of the Lord. She did something with what she heard, and the blessing came in her obedience. I have a coworker that I've known many years named Jenny New, who I think hears God as clearly as just about anyone I know. She told me a story some years ago. She was leaving the offices of the North Richland Hills campus, and she was going to go and visit some of our members in the hospital. And on the way, she heard the Lord. And the Lord told her instead to turn and go and visit a widow in our church who had just gotten a very bad cancer report. Now, this particular widow had a very prickly personality. She was not a pleasant person to visit. So Jenny went past the exit to her house. After all, she thought, hey, I'm going to do the Lord's work. I'm going to see people in the hospital. But the Lord kept pressing, go turn this car around and visit that woman. So Jenny obeyed. She showed up unannounced on the porch. A woman said, what are you doing here, Jenny? I heard that your cancer has come back. She comes into the house, 2 minutes of awkward conversation, and the woman says again, Jenny, what are you doing here? And Jenny leaned in and said, well, I am afraid that you are dying alone. And the woman said, last night I'm praying to God after I got that report. And I prayed, well, I guess I'm just going to have to do this all by myself like I had to do everything else. And Jenny leaned in and said, but you don't have to do it by yourself. And she did it. And Jenny walked with her all the way to the end of her life on this earth. The blessing was not in the hearing. The blessing was in the doing. Do you ever treat God's word like an auditor? I audited a couple of classes in college. That's where you get to sit in on the lecture. You hear the professor, you hear what he teaches, but you don't have to do anything. You don't have to read the books. You don't have to do the homework. You don't have to write the papers. You don't have to cram for the exam. I never profited much from a class I audited because I heard and I did not do. And if that is how you treat the word of the Lord, I can promise you that you will begin to experience significant hearing loss. That's why the Hebrew writer says, today, not tomorrow, not next week, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Some years ago, we had a speaker named Erwin McManus teach at our men's conference, and he told a story. He's a father of two children. When his son Aaron was only 5 or 6, he was always asking, Daddy, how do you hear God? How do you know when God speaks? He wasn't sure how in an age-appropriate way to explain that to a 5-year-old. But when Aaron started junior high, he went to a church camp. Erwin and a friend went out to visit midway through the week. Aaron showed up. His bags were packed. He threw it in the car, got in the car, and said, I want you to take me home. I want to leave camp. Turns out Aaron had gotten into a fight with another boy, and he was upset. Erwin said, Aaron, are you hearing a voice deep inside right now? Aaron said, yes. What's that voice telling you? The voice is telling me to stay and work it out. And Erwin said, Aaron, that's God. You have heard God, Aaron. You've heard God. He was taken aback when Aaron said, well, I don't care what God says. I don't want to do it. Teachable moment. Erwin said, Aaron, you don't ever have to obey God. But if it becomes the pattern of your life to hear God and not obey, you will lose the ability to ever hear God again. Aaron got out of the car, made things right with the boy, stayed. He's a dynamic young adult now following Jesus. But Erwin speculated, what would have happened if my son had chosen to go down the path of hearing God and not doing what he said? At best, he would just be a nominal disciple of Jesus. You see, God speaks for a reason, to be heard. And now you know what that means, that he speaks so that you will respond to what he said. Maybe the best thing we could all do each morning is start with this prayer from Psalm 40. My God, I want to do what you want. When you say, God, you just tell me, I've already said yes, you'll hear from God. People who say that regularly will hear from God frequently. Nothing gets rid of interference like obedience. So one more story. You know I like sports metaphors. In the last 20 years, probably no college athlete was any more popular or well-known than this guy. His name is Tim Tebow. He was a quarterback for the University of Florida Gators. Won a couple of national championships, Heisman Trophy. That picture you're seeing was significant. He had just led the Florida Gators to the national championship, biggest game of the year. You see under his eyes, he's written John 3:16. Well, see, all season long, he had written under his eyes Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But right before the big game, the biggest audience he'd have all year, he felt God impress upon him, write John 3:16. He told his teammates what he was thinking about. They all said, no, no, don't change. You'll jinx us. They didn't even know what Philippians 4:13 said. But Tim obeyed the word he got from the Lord. He wrote John 3:16 under his eyes. They win the game, and isn't it interesting? One of the very first questions he was asked by the press is, why did you change what's under your eyes? And in papers all across the nation the next day, people reading about the game read this line. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. And what's more, Google reported that in the next 2 days, they received 94 million hits from people wanting to know, what does John 3:16 say? I could give you no better wisdom than this. When you hear God, just do whatever he tells you. And to know what that is, just pray, God, I want to do what you want. Let's do that right now. I want you to bow your heads. We're going to start with that prayer, and then we're going to be quiet for a second and see what God says. So every one of you right now with me, just say to yourself or say to the Lord, my God, I want to do what you want. Say that, and then let's be quiet and see what God says. Oh God, we thank you that you're a God who seeks and pursues. You spoke first, and you gave us the ability to hear. We want our hearing to get better. And we know that to do that, our obeying needs to get better. So increase our desire to hear, and increase our desire to do what we hear. Because that's how Jesus listened. And we pray in his name. Amen.